Thank you. Thank you. Ruiz is on the call as well.
I'm sorry, I'm Tim Ruiz? Okay.
Yes.
Welcome and thank you for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may now begin.
Andrea, just if you can just wait a moment for the recording, please.
Okay.
We just want to open up the call but not start the recording yet until we have a few more people.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Andrea.
Hello, Tim. I guess I wanted to start out by sort of explaining the confusion about the vote over having a task force or not, and that's something that we really need to get fixed up in the bylaws. But since the vote didn't complete on the other until the absentee ballots were in, and by that point it was no longer possible to have a vote in the same meeting, then it became a question of, do we actually need to have that vote, especially since we were explicit about calling for a working group. However, there's no problem with, and as reading Tim's motion, I see no problem with putting one of those on, you know, record, you know, just for safety's sake. And in that case, it doesn't matter whether we do it, you know, 3 weeks later at this meeting, or 6 weeks later at the next meeting, since they don't have it on the agenda for tomorrow because they didn't think it was necessary. You know, I could put it on the agenda for the Wednesday meeting in Sydney. Yeah, my only concern was how soon can we put out a call for members in the working group. I was less worried about the formality than
to have a working group. That has nothing to do with the vote for task force or not task force. Because if we had taken the vote on a task force, then that means we have no task force. We're in committee as a whole. The first thing the committee as a whole does is decide to have a working group.
Right.
So until there's a charter for a working group, that vote isn't taken.
Okay, my recollection was it goes in the other order, but that's fine.
Right, you have to have a working group charter to have a working group, I believe. We may have, as we've been evolving...
Tim,
Yeah,
I guess when we voted on it, I thought we were, I was just assuming that we had decided to do the working group and that we would just incorporate it all into one motion, but
yes.
Maybe that's not everyone's impression.
Yeah, that was my impression, and that is an acceptable way to read it. It's just that if there are those that believe we really need to take that vote, you know, the other possibility that I have checked with legal counsel is to include in the whereas motion for this charter, you know, whereas the council decided to create a working group instead of a task force in its vote of, you know, that'll work. But as I say, if strict adherence to the sequence is important, and as I said, from legal counsel, I got a sort of initial impression that it's not necessary because we said form a working group.
Yeah, I don't think anyone is saying that the strict order, you know, following that order is important. My recollection, and perhaps is wrong, is when we normally vote on to have a working group, we then ask someone or some group to go off and write the detailed charter for approval, and in parallel we put out a call for members. And it was the call for members that I was trying to get off the ground as quickly as we could, so perhaps
right.
There could be a meeting in Sydney.
I see no
Sydney.
Reason why there couldn't be a call for members in parallel with the charter, because there has been a view, but... Now, two, 3 weeks, one way or the other, is that going to make a lot of difference?
Only that perhaps there was an opportunity for some face-to-face discussion in Sydney.
Right, yeah.
I don't see a reason not to start the call for members and say the discussion is still being, you know, the charter discussion is still ongoing in the group. They can be added to this group. I kind of see this group as sort of the beginning of the working group.
Right. Well, if that can be done tomorrow, and you know, ask staff to put out a call in parallel with all this, then I'm tickled pink.
I think the motion that we passed, you know, is pretty informational. If anyone, you know, wants to know what the working group's about, I mean, it's pretty explicit. So.
It has had pretty much all the words for the charter without having the frame around it.
Right.
Yeah. Just to add to that, I think that the workshop that we're planning for the Sydney meeting probably will be a good, or hopefully a good opportunity to actually attract new people to this group, because as most of you said, Glenn has put out a call for volunteers a number of times,
yeah.
And we're hoping that more people would get in, but so far no luck, but hopefully, you know, getting people around the table and talking about these issues will get people more excited about it, and that might be an opportunity to have a, you know, first informal meeting of the working group in that workshop and get more people to sign up.
I mean, I think there'll be more excitement about actually trying to address the issue rather than drafting teams to write documents.
Yeah,
me too.
I think if someone puts out the call that is sort of both saying that this meeting, you know, and the working group sort of together, that might also be a useful thing, that in advertising the meeting, also mention the working call group being formed.
Okay.
And any number of ways. I don't see anything in what the council did or any process that would stop us from starting to collect the people for the working group. It's just we have to say it hasn't been chartered yet. It's still in the chartering process. But as long as we say that, and point to the motion of what the charter will contain, I think we're fine. We just can't say it's chartered yet.
Then let's do it, and we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, agreed.
Anyone think this is a bad idea? But, so we've got two charters on the table. You guys take on. You know,
there are two charters on the table?
Well, is it there yours? And then and I actually only opened... Tim's, but I thought you were...
I hadn't seen anything from Tim yet. Maybe when did it come?
And then shortly thereafter, Tim sent one. So I've got two.
I need to collect mail then.
So,
yeah, I was just finishing mine up when yours popped in, so I kind of grabbed a couple things from yours and stuck it in mine just to.
Oh, good.
So which one do we want to go through first? If Tim's is a aggregate. Would it be worth going through that one first, and then, Alan, if you think it...
As soon as I can find it.
Okay.
Tim
can talk us through it. And by the way, I'm just doing my normal bit of talking a lot in a vacuum, but I'm not pretending to be responsible for this.
Oh, too bad. I was sort of hoping.
I'm not presuming. I just tend to fill empty spaces.
Okay, Tim, there we are.
Okay, Tim, as soon as everyone's ready, the floor's yours.
Okay. Yeah, so I just used the, sort of similar to what Alan did, I just took the transfer PDPA charter and then just modified it. So the first part of it just refers to the original motion that we did. I couldn't remember the date, so I just stuck in a placeholder for that. Calls for the initiation of the TDP, and then copied that motion in there. And then under the charter, I included the potential that we would have a motion on forming a working group instead of a task force. So Alan had already drafted that, so I included that motion as the first part of the charter to set up the fact that we're actually forming a working group. And then the rest of the charter is pretty much just taken from the original motion. I added a couple of things about what the working group should initially do as far as research and information gathering, as the motion called for. Getting information from the compliance staff on the current RAE provisions and consensus policies on deletion and auto renewal, and then how those are in the RGP and how those are enforced. Two, to review and understand the current domain name lifecycle, and three, to review the current registrar practices regarding domain name expiration, renewal, and post-expiration recovery. And then the second part. The working group should then consider the following questions, and those are taken straight from the motion, the five questions from the motion. And then the final paragraph there is just, again, from the motion that the working group should consider recommendations for best practices as well as, or instead of, recommendations for consensus policy. And then the working group processes is just strictly taken, copied straight from the RACPA
charter. Which is where I took it also.
Which is what Alan had done as well. So,
all right. So I'm on a tiny little screen here and trying to focus on this. So really, the differences are you added a little bit more in terms of the things that should be investigated first, instead of just saying the compliance, which I did. You added the domain lifecycle. And current practices. I'm trying to see.
Yeah, and that's.
I have no problem.
That can be debated. I just thought it would be good for the group to understand.
To be quite candid, if any working group is going to look at this without trying to understand all those things, then there's no hope for anything coming out of it.
Right.
So I have no problem including the detail. I guess I took it as sort of as a given, but...
It could be a split.
That's fine.
You also added milestones, which was a good thing.
I had cut out that section because I really didn't know what kind of time frame. I thought at this meeting we'd look at what kind of time frame is likely possible.
And I think that's a good thing to talk about. I do think we should have milestones. I think we must have milestones of getting a charter approved. I think we need to believe that they're reasonable, and there's a large, policy staff component there in helping us know what's reasonable.
This is Tim. I didn't put a lot of thought into those milestones. They're just basically copied straight out of the IRGPA charter. So
right.
And those are the basic steps that we have to have. We have to have the template for constituency comments, the comment, the initial report, the first comment, and preliminary. We can also have other milestones if we wish. For example, you know, start the research, you know, gather the questions for research, things like that that are content-wise significant to this group, if that'll be helpful in helping the group do its work. And as I say, this is one of the places where I'd like to put a lot of reliance on policy staff in terms of helping figure out what milestones are useful to have and reasonable time. For example, a template for constituency comments 3 weeks after the meeting in Sydney is probably challenging. But
yes, that's
my first clue. And so that's all I wanted to say on that. Are we pretty much accepted that the rest of the content up to them is fine? Or, Alan, did you have...
I really need to read it you know, quietly after I can get a printout of it.
Okay, fine.
Which I can't at the moment.
So
but
we'll
there's nothing that leaps out at me right now, but...
So we've got
a
list.
I'll get it printed out later tonight and respond in the next couple of days.
We've got a list, and for a motion for me to... First of all, I need to know to put this motion on the public meeting, which means I put it in one of those cycles with motion, open mic discussion, and then the votes.
We decide as a group, you know, if the council is all pretty much in agreement that, you know, the intent was that we form a working group through the original motion, then maybe we don't need that at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do need a motion to vote on to approve the charter.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I see. Right.
So, in that vote we need. So, whatever votes we do, we absolutely have to have a charter approving vote. And hopefully an approving of someone to chair the group and someone to be a liaison from the council to the group. And Tim, you're looking like you're in a really good position to be the liaison from the council to the group. and in terms of the chair of the group, you know, Alan's been carrying it so long, so maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm just positing it. It ain't me. It's the only thing I'm certain of, because I just don't believe that members of council should be chairs. They should be liaisons, and certainly a chair of the council shouldn't be chair except in an emergency situation.
And I suspect, since I've been the lead proponent in this, I shouldn't be the chair either, because I'm not likely an unbiased observer.
Chair among others who join up. And we can have an interim chair while we're selecting a chair.
Mm-hmm.
At the time. So if you don't want to be chair, Alan, maybe, you know, we should consider whether you're interim chair.
Well, I certainly have no problem with that. My recollection is right now we're trying to look at chairs who are relatively unbiased and not active participants in the discussion. Is that correct?
I think we're trying to look at chairs who, even if they do have a viewpoint, are able to set it aside and behave in an unbiased method. Which means they could state their opinion once to get it in there, but I find you can't be someone who needs to argue for your opinion.
Got it.
And as obviously, all of us have an opinion on just about anything, and even if we don't when we start, we form one along the process. What a chair has to do, and the balance we've sort of been playing with, which is a tough one, which is a chair can certainly state his or her view on something. And then you just leave it on the table, and either other people pick it up and it goes with, but you don't end up a protagonist or an antagonist in the discussion.
Well, we can certainly set me as the interim chair and then decide
what
to do next.
But the group, once we have more members, let the group,
yeah,
you know, pick another, and that would be fine. You know, I mean, obviously the council needs to approve that, and then the group would pick its chair, and then in a following council meeting, we would just endorse that choice as we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless we didn't endorse that choice, then I don't know how that would work, but pretty much we've endorsed that choice afterwards, just personality thing. Okay, in order to have this, and as if this group, and I think it'd be a good one to have on the agenda, I don't know what Marika thinks, but if we want to have this on the agenda in Sydney, and I think it is a good one, I also think it's a good one where, you know, we may actually get some public comment on the work that needs to be done, and it acts as somewhat a lead-in
to the session being held, or unless the session held before it, I don't know.
I think it's Wednesday afternoon, isn't it, Marisa?
Yeah, correct.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's a perfect lead-up for the workshop. So, you know, if this group says, yeah, we'll be ready with a charter at least 2 weeks before the meeting, which I guess is the 9th of June, you know, obviously on the council we can go as late as a week before the meeting, but it'd be good if we had 2 weeks. Try and do right. I can get your stuff done by 2 weeks before
I mean, if this group is representative, I find it hard to believe we can't have it done by then unless we just drop it and forget about it.
Yeah. Probably right. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I think we should be able to do it.
Do we have, what do you think, Staff? Marika?
Yeah, I don't see any issues.
Okay. So then it would really just be looking at the milestones and perhaps coming up with some. Do we want to talk about that now? Or
just one thing I would like to mention there is that as long as we can keep enough flexibility in there to adjust to current workload, I'm just seeing in the other working groups that there's a real struggle in getting people to commit time and to do things. So I just want to make sure that we have realistic expectations as to when this group will be able to deliver.
And that's basically kind of what I'm asking you to tell us. In other words, you, at the staff at the moment, probably because you're looking at all the working groups and you're looking at our behavior patterns in aggregate, are probably best at predicting, you know, whether it makes any sense at all to have a template in 21 days, for example, and such. So that's why on the milestone target.
It will partly be a question as well for those that join the working group, because a big difference, for example, is if do people want to meet weekly or biweekly. That makes a huge difference in how quickly work can be delivered. The last working groups that have been set up has been the request from the volunteers to have it biweekly because they cannot cope with the amount of calls and work that's currently ongoing. So from staff perspective, that's one of the defining factors on how quick you can deliver. I think, you know, from staff side, we can keep up, but we really see that from the community side, it's a real challenge at the moment.
So we should probably assume that we do have a biweekly meeting period, except for when, A, something is being done as a, you know, emergency, we have to do this quickly because, or a group finds itself getting behind and decides on its own.
Or we're out in a comment period or something.
Right. Yes.
I'd like to work backwards and, I mean, in an ideal sense, I'd like to have some suggested outcomes ready for Seoul. And the question is, are there enough days to realistically do that or not?
Seoul means you in mid-September. What is Seoul?
I think that's highly unlikely. Having seen the registration of youth group that basically kicked off after Mexico City and was supposed to deliver by, or at least an interim report by, the Sydney meeting there, I mean, it's a very difficult subject as well, and it's, you know, taking a long time to discuss certain issues, but it's taking a long time as well. As said, you know, some calls need to be cancelled because it's either holidays or people, you know, can't make it, having biweekly calls, so I think that would be a very optimistic timeline, but it's a question as well, if people are willing to put the time in it, that makes as well all the difference.
This is Mike. I'd like to comment on the biweekly meeting thing. Being on that work group, the biweekly meeting thing really slows stuff down. So I think maybe what we ought to do is change it around. And instead of saying it's biweekly by default, say it's weekly, and if you can't keep up, then don't join the working group. Because I agree, Rika, that working group is really slow. It's so slow that it's hard to keep the conversation going.
Okay, but it's also part of it that we also haven't trained ourselves to use any between-meeting working tools.
Yeah. But I'm not sure we're going to say we're going to change
that. We're not sure that we're going to change that. But the other question that I have when we get beyond the biweekly is if we've got full world spread, actually two issues, if we've got full world spread on the meeting, there's really only one or two reasonable time slots a day. So we end up with somewhere between 5 and 10 possible time slots a week. And as we start to have more working groups to say that they're all going to meet weekly, becomes tough.
Now, we may not have full world spread. The other thing is, and this is in the nature of bottom-up consensus-building processes, is it just takes time to reach the edges of the conversation and come back to the people inside the meeting. So trying to move too quickly sometimes doesn't really work. I mean, you know, when you're looking at this whole process of bottom-up consensus producing, fast is not at the top of the list of things we can achieve. We can in some cases where we really need to. But so is this one that we really absolutely have to get it done as soon as possible?
I would just to add something else to it, I mean, just looking, for example, another working group like the IRGP, who did meet weekly, which only had three issues to look at, it still took them 8 months to get from, or more than 8 months, from start to finish. So, and I think here there's a longer list of issues looking at, maybe even, you know, less straightforward than some of the IRTP issues, or maybe possibly less consensus around it. So just to give you an idea of how a working group that would work, meet on a weekly basis, that you're still looking at a, you know, definitely beyond soul, I think, for getting to something substantial.
So even an initial report by soul is that. Being of a thing, if we look back at this chart, constituency comments, though, is that something that one could say is easy by soul?
Because you need to take into account as well that I think, according to the bylaws, we normally start off as well with a public comment period, just saying we're launching the working group. Are there any insights people want to share at this stage?
Should we start off with public comment or constituency comment?
No, that's a public comment.
Oh, it is? Okay, really?
I'm not sure whether it has been done in all the different working groups, but I remember, I think we did do it for the IRTP, where it's just like putting it out to the community if anyone wants to share any views, you know, say it already now.
And there's certainly, you know, if this group wants to do that, I think that could be a good thing to do. I think there's no fixed pattern on it. The thing that we're required to do before initial report is the constituency comment.
Okay, before the report.
Before the initial report, we
okay.
must have constituency
okay.
comment. But while we're in the information gathering, now, in some cases, the constituency comment is also information gathering. But also, previous groups have gotten into a pattern. Again, this is not a bylaws requirement. They're producing a template so that constituency comments sort of have a chance of coming in where they can, you know, where they're at least apples and pears and not apples and rocks. You know, for points of comparison. But, of course, it's up to this group whether it wants to do a template. Now, Chuck, who I guess is going to be on the call, has certainly been one of the champions of templates, and I think the staff is like
that. I think just one thing to come back to the public comment period. It is actually prescribed in the bylaws. It's called the public notification of initiation of the PDP. A public comment period shall be commenced for the issue for a period of 20 calendar days after initiation of the PDP.
So that should happen now.
Yeah.
That probably should have already happened.
It should.
If we have initiated the PDP, we can...
Well, unless we say we initiated the PDP with the adoption of the charter and forming of the working group.
No, actually, we initiated the PDP. We did take the PDP in vote. Now we still haven't figured out how we're doing the work, but we have figured out that there is a PDP on
it. But remember, in the bylaws, all of that is instantaneous and clearly isn't in reality,
yeah.
in the real world.
I know with the IRTP, basically the working group met and said, do we think it's a good idea and need to, you know, already put it out there so people know about it and can already provide it. I mean, in all honesty, I think we only got one comment, which I think even turned out to be spam. So
I think that's good because it could give us, if it's a good one, it could give us some of the information and questions for the template.
Say that again.
It could also, if it's a good public comment, as people actually take it up and respond,
mm-hmm.
it could actually give additional information or questions that one would want to, how one would phrase the template for constituency comment.
Ah, okay.
And maybe the group could as well take into consideration the feedback received during the workshop as part of the public comments and take that into account or at least recognize that, for example, in the report. during a public comment period, we also had a workshop and that provided this kind of input or something.
I think the input at the workshop should be included. I was thinking of kicking off the 21 days, assuming we have the freedom to do it, essentially once we approve the charter, because that means if we create any documents for the workshop, we'll have those available for people, so people can make intelligent comments on mm-hmm. on the substance.
That seems to make sense.
Yeah. Or it can span, I mean, especially since we've already sort of said the public comment periods go into sort of abeyance for
during the meeting, yeah.
And having the public comment period start before the meeting and gives people time to think and get up to speed on the subject if they're into that. There's all kinds of different ways we could look at. I think starting the public comment period once it can start and making sure that it doesn't end for at least a week after, you know, the meeting is probably a balance. One of the things we have not worried about too much in following the bylaws, obviously, because we can't, is the timing. But we do have to get all the people.
Yeah, if it's going to go past Sydney, it really has to be more than a week. I mean, an awful lot of people aren't going to get home until a week after the meeting.
That's a good week.
I mean, I prefer to err on the side of getting more comments than trying to rush at that particular stage.
Would an alternative be to actually like open it or announce that we'll be opening it at the workshop, so to actually focus people on that and saying, look,
that's,
we have more comments?
That's what I was suggesting.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Which essentially says it opens at the time that we approve the charter, which...
Okay, yeah.
And you know, formally create a working group. Which is almost the same as starting the PUP. Sort of.
Well, no, actually it's not.
And then we would also put out the request for the constituency views?
I think we would invite constituencies to comment, but this wouldn't be the formal constituency comments based on template, unless you want to do it that way and say, no template, just get the constituency comments at the beginning too, which is sort of an older way of doing it.
The template, I mean, from experience, the template has been quite useful as well, especially in, you know, summarizing at the end, because you get people, like, focusing on the same kind of issues, and I think it makes it easier for finding similarities or, you know, disagreements. But, I mean, that's just my opinion, having seen some of those.
That presumes the template can be inclusive enough to include people, what people want to say.
Yeah, I mean, you can always, of course, have the other comments box. I mean, I don't think in any of those we have been said you can only fill in this template and we don't accept anything else. So, I mean, I think we've always put it as like, well, this is a tool that might help guide, you know, your discussions in your constituency and in phrasing your views, but, you know, not everyone has always followed it or people have added on things as well, so...
Yeah.
Would the template just be comments on each of the five questions? Constituency views on each of the five questions? And if that was the case, we could put that together pretty quickly. At least,
it's,
you know,
probably for the
four.
Working group to discuss whether there are any sub-issues they would like specific views on. I mean, maybe the group would very quickly decide, well, actually, these are the, you know, the key issues and we don't need to delve deeper, but from past experience, it seems that, you know, the group does like to discuss and at least see, are there any particular points that we would like more information on it or that we feel we need to ask sub-questions to really dig into the substance of it.
But this is Mikey. To Tim's point, these templates generally don't take a long time to put together. Once you've got that list, they usually come together awfully fast.
Yeah, I mean, given we do have these 5 points, which are pretty explicit, but certainly a start.
Yeah.
I suppose we could wait till after Sydney and see what else comes up through the workshop and then decide if there's other...
Yeah, that would be my
thing you want to include.
That basically, if the working group could be ready to send out for a constituency comment within a few weeks of the open comment period having ended, that would probably be the most useful. So the workshop would have occurred. If there were any public comments, the constituencies could take those into account. There would be the template that had taken the workshop into account.
And that would be sort of the maximum scope to be able to pick up information.
That sounds doable.
This is Mikey again. In terms of constituency comment, does that imply that then there are two? Because generally, later on in the process, once there's a preliminary draft of a report, there's another round of constituency comment.
There is there's a required constituency comment before the initial report.
The second one is basically part of the general public comment period. Constituencies can then either resubmit or change some of the comments they've made before or add things.
There's actually nothing stopping the working group from working in parallel with the constituency comment period, a first one.
No, that's what actually happens, or that's what's happening with most of the working groups in practice. They discuss the issues while constituencies go away and discuss it as well. So, and that's normally as well reflected then in the reports. There's a part where we report or document the working group deliberations and discussions and or conclusions or interim conclusions, and there's a separate section that then focuses on the constituency statement.
There's also the information gathering stuff that has to happen in parallel to get more important stuff.
Yeah.
So there'll be several threads of this for the working group to carry through. But we still need target milestones. And milestones, I think we need target milestones. We need to come up with them. And then working groups, you know, once they've been working for a while, can look at the milestones and say, these are ridiculous. We understand something about our working methods and how long it's going to take now. And then basically, you know, present an update to the council that the council will then discuss and, you know, manage either by approving or asking questions back. So milestones are something to give guidance to get started, do one's best to meet, but when you can't meet them, as long as you negotiate their change, that should be fine. But I still think we need some first estimates.
Well, this is Mikey again. One approach would be just to double all the numbers in this.
If doubling is enough,
Well, to start.
Well, except the order is not quite the same. We're not going to do a constituency comment period right at the beginning, so just doubling doesn't really address that.
Actually, the template for constituency almost works because we're going to, as the group is formed, we're going to do the 21-day comment period, or actually it'll start after the meeting because I don't think they actually start during the meeting. So the comment period will start at the end of the Sydney meeting. That will be T plus 21 for the template. So once that's over, then it goes to the constituency. So now the constituency gets 3 weeks. As norm, we can give it more if we want. But the first one, the T and the T plus 21 and then the T plus 56, is actually how long you have for the constituency comment.
35 days.
35 days are pretty much fixed. Now what's not known then is, after that, to the initial report, 14 days is
very short.
Very short.
That's not like
so that point. So the first three bullets are actually probably okay.
This is a question for Tim, actually, because I've noticed that when we get the constituency statements from the registrar constituency, it always mentions something like, you know, we haven't really had time to vote on. This is in principle our position, but it hasn't been officially voted upon due to lack of time. Would that be different if more time would be added here? Is that more a standard approach?
Well, if we can get a template if we have 35 days, you know, after we receive the template, that's enough time, according to our bylaws, to put something together to actually have, you know, a vote and constituency-wide discussion and vote.
But the problem is the meeting cycle, right? Because you have regular meetings.
Right.
So the 35 days in the meeting cycle could force it to 2 weeks longer. Is that correct?
Right.
That's what I think often messes things up, is people can theoretically get the work done in 35 days, but if they meet every month, and votes happen at a meeting, and that 35 days, you know, and a week after a meeting, there's still another 3 weeks. before they can actually take a vote to close. And I think that's where we end up with problems on a 35-day period. In absolute terms, it's enough. In meeting cycle time, it's not.
Avery, back on your earlier question of is 14 days enough, for this particular CDP, I don't think it's anywhere near enough. I think we have an issue here where there's going to be horse trading involved to try to come to closure on something that's acceptable to all parties.
That's why
I don't think that's going to happen in 14 days.
And that's why I was kind of looking for an initial report by fall.
Sorry, say that again. My line cut out.
I'm wondering whether an initial report by fall is a reasonable marker.
By initial report, you mean sort of summarizing the status?
No, I mean
as opposed to an outcome.
I mean, Adam, just to give you an example, an initial report, like some working groups have basically worked by the initial report, they just produce interim conclusions, or some don't even produce interim conclusions, but they just produce like ideas for next steps that they then put out for public comment. So depends a bit as well on the approach of the working group, like how many recommendations they already want to put in there, or whether they just want to put in some ideas that they want to test the waters with, you know, in the community. And then basically start the negotiations between the initial report and the final report on what the actual recommendations are going to be. So it depends a bit as well, I think, on the approach taken, you know, what status initial report might have, or I think to your question of would you already do the horse trading at that stage or does it follow later?
I'm asking the question more than giving an answer. I'm just saying that certainly the final report is not going to... If you look at the timeline that was in the example, it says 14 days, initial report 14 days after the comments are received.
Right, well, we know that's not quite enough.
And then another comment period, and then 20 days from the end of the second comment period to the final report. And that's not likely to happen unless
now the end game here,
skies open up.
The end game really is where a lot more money is useful. How many days? I mean, you know, I'm saying 70 days, and then I'm saying, oh, maybe it could be longer. We could do it by Seoul. But how much is further, and how many days is it between the end of Sydney and the beginning of Seoul?
I don't know.
Or actually, 2 weeks before the beginning of Seoul.
End of November, beginning of November?
It's not quite 4 months, I don't think. It's something close to that.
It's end of October.
So anyhow, we need to think through these. I think it'd be cool, personally, if the initial report is something that could be available by Seoul, if that...
I would hope so.
Would you like me to look back at the different working groups to see how much time it actually took, for example, the IRTP, the Fast Flux, just to have an idea that we put in something there that's realistic? Because to be honest, I mean, I think this was taken from the IRTP, but I don't think it was ever updated with the actual time it took.
Yes, I think that'd be great. I think that's one of the exercises we have to be doing, is learning how long it takes us to do these things. And as I say, you guys know it best.
Okay, I'll look that up and get that to the mailing list.
Yeah, I think you have to differentiate between PDPs that are really trying to come to common ground between parties that are on opposite sides and ones where everyone is just trying to find a good answer to a problem.
I'll leave that for you to decide when I put the issues out, which ones fall in which category.
I'm not sure I could tell the difference, to be honest.
Okay.
But what I, if it's at all close to reasonable, I hope we can push for, we can try and get an initial report by Seoul, but if we can't, we can't.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to what I was saying originally, is I'd like to have something to report at a public meeting in Seoul.
I think that's extremely optimistic.
Yes,
but
I think
I'm here to be proven wrong.
So then it may just
I
be
agree. I just think it's outrageous to think that anything on this is going to be done by Seoul, given the amount of work that's going to be done.
Okay.
I'm sorry I was outrageous. I apologize.
You're outrageous and I'm optimistic.
Well, though, if we're talking about the initial report being more or less a compilation of the initial public comments, the constituency comments, and then perhaps any proposed ways forward or solutions that might have been discussed in Sydney or otherwise since then, without any real conclusions.
I mean,
it seems like that's not doable by Seoul.
Normally, the initial report covers as well, like the deliberations of the working around all these issues and trying to really dig in, understand, and already trying to think, you know, outlining what could be potential avenues to be explored, and that normally takes quite some time, especially when you start with a group that, you know, is really new to the issue. So, I mean, having seen that in the IRTP and the Fast Flux, I mean, digging into each of these questions, you sometimes need to bring in experts to explain, like, how do certain things work, or what are the practical manners of doing things, or, you know, so, in practice, I mean, maybe here we'll go very fast and people will catch up very quickly. We'll be able to meet weekly and share a lot of information between mailing lists. But that would be really something new compared to the current status.
What I'd like to recommend is, you know, that perhaps if you're willing, Marika, you take this away and do the research that you were going to do on terms of what are reasonable, and then sort of float on the list what looks reasonable based on past behavior.
Okay.
Is that
it's kind of based on some of the things we were talking about. Of course, we're now outdated already, given our discussion about Seoul. But I just submitted what I thought might be a good draft milestones. But, you know.
Okay, great.
I'm going to go from there.
I guess my feeling is it would be really nice if we had something to have face-to-face discussions about in Seoul. Whether there's a formal paper on the table or not,
but I think
that's a target I think we wanted to try to hit.
No, I think if you call it something else than initial report, it's possible to do that. Mm-hmm. You put together talking points or contentious issues or something like that. But an initial report often is pretty close to the final report, and getting that done,
that's not going to happen by Seoul.
Yeah, you're right. That could be, for example, a summary of comments received that came from the staff.
Right.
That,
or
that,
even, you know, most contentious issues. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could be put together.
And as well, coming back to the current situation, I mean, looking at working groups like the PDP work team, which everyone feels really strongly about, very important, very large group of volunteers, I think we had to cancel the last three calls due to lack of participation. Having as well weekly calls, well, now I think we're switching to bi-weekly, so, you know, people might be very committed, but if you have every time two or three people on the call, you know, you cannot really take any decisions or move forward. So I think we really need to take into account that there seems to be community overload, and we really need to be realistic about, you know, what we can expect from people and what is going to be the commitment they can make to actually doing the work.
Especially since there's going to be an incredible amount of time spent or wasted, depending upon one's perception, on finishing the restructuring between Sydney and Seoul. And at some point, we have to put an amazing amount of energy into the end game on that, and this is it. So at a certain point, that is truly going to exhaust people.
This is Tim. You know, I know you have to we're working on redefining the policy development process, so that's kind of ongoing work. But one of the things that it seems to me that these interim reports or initial reports or preliminary reports, whatever you want to call them, come out of the working groups should do would be, not necessarily, you know, this is close to final, but more, you know, as an interim report to the community, so that they know where the working group is at that particular point. Sort of, you know, we're reporting on our progress and where we're at. Gives the community additional opportunity to see where they may be headed and to make comments or, you know, express disagreement or agreement or other ideas about, you know, how things could be resolved or redirected.
Let's be candid. People don't tend to comment until they think this is their last chance.
Yeah, and the problem is as well that there is no comment period at the final report stage. So you would like to give people, you know, a fair idea of where you think, you know, to a certain extent the discussion is leading, so they can actually make comments on what they think the outcome might be. And if you leave it too much, like, you know, we're somewhere halfway, we still have a long way to go, but here's already the initial report, you miss a, you know, you miss the opportunity to ask people really what they think of the potential outcome that you're looking at that stage.
There's also the problem that the term interim report, I think, is woven into the bylaw. And that's part of the reason for some of the
initial report is, yeah.
Yeah, I just think, though, that the downside of that is when we wait until the end, then, you know, a lot of the deliberation's been done, the decisions are pretty much there, and now, you know, the community then becomes aware of where things are at, and if they're not happy or they don't like it or they think there's something that needs to change, it gets difficult because you're towards the end.
Yeah, I think that's
so. I don't know what you want to call it, but I think that in a lot of cases, you know, even though the constituents, the participants, you know, are expected to keep their constituents informed, et cetera, that's difficult to do for the entire community.
That's where I think calling it something else is helpful, because then you could insert even several. You could say something like community update, or, you know, pick a title, I don't care what. But
right, so hopefully, you know, if nothing else, at least by Seoul, it would be nice to have something that could actually be published.
Right.
About where we're at, and so that it can stimulate further discussion at the workshop.
Right.
I mean, something we're doing, and it's not a PDP, but for the Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, is indeed to have that status update that provides, you know, where did this come from, what have we done so far, what are the still some of the things we still need to do, and, you know, where do we think we're heading. So that might be something for the group to put out if they see that they indeed don't make it to initial reports. Say, okay, I mean, I don't think there's anything preventing them from producing something else that they want to share with the community or put up for discussion. At least I don't think the bylaws prevent something like that, having that as an intermediate between getting to an initial report and going for public comments and things like that, or like a more status update kind of thing.
Although I think that's something that we want to put it in the milestone.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe what we do is we put one of those in at that 70 or 80 days mark, whatever it is, that gets us ready for Seoul, and then drop the initial report back another notch. And who knows, we might come in early.
The other possibility is that there really is, while there has to be an initial report and there has to be a comment period based on that, there's nothing saying that when you put out the draft final report, one can't have a comment. And the bylaws do not prevent additional comment periods. So if an initial report goes out, whether there's a lot of discussion prior to it or not, and the world changes report and a draft final report, it's absolutely reasonable to do another full comment.
I think we're going to need to be flexible. We don't know how this is going to unroll. I mean, at this point, we have a fairly large split in where various parties would like to see this come out. If it becomes apparent as we start talking that neither is going to get their extreme wish list, we may well come to closure on this moderately quickly.
It's mostly just the mechanics. Oh, it's not even necessarily that there's a lot of dispersion in the points of view. It's just awfully hard to turn the crank that fast.
We need a new spell crank, perhaps. If you're saying no matter how straightforward it is, it takes forever to do, there's something wrong with the process.
Well, part of it is that we haven't learned to work that well.
Yeah.
And we haven't learned to as a community. Some of us do it and some of us don't. We haven't learned as a community how to use these tools that allow sort of a semi-continuous asynchronous pattern of working, where then when we're face-to-face or voice-to-voice, we really only have to deal with a few contentious and we haven't learned to do that. You know, we need to. And I think that's part of the solution space, that, you know, one can't mandate that, one has to be doing that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that we want to take that on in this particular working group.
I think we have to take it on in every working group to do as much of it as we can.
Well, then we ought to add it to the scope of this charter.
It's not a charter scope. it's part of how things are done. Not, you know, you don't have to, I mean, the charter doesn't say this will all be done by phone call. I mean, we're not putting that kind of detail in charters. What we're trying to do is provide tools and incentives for people to use them, trying to set dates that sort of say, gee, if we're going to meet this date, what we need to do is work a little bit smarter and a little bit this. We have staff to help us use tools and to help us get us over the learning of tools, but I certainly don't think we need to put in charter and they ought to try and use online tools.
Then we have a contradiction, because if we don't do something like that, we're never going to hit the kinds of dates that we're going to put in these schedules.
Well, you put the...
Well, I think part of it, too, is that we need to recognize the realities of our community, and that is that no matter how hard we try to increase participation and include others, there's still going to be a core group that are going to want or need to be involved in a lot of these different work processes that are going on, either because they're so directly affected or for whatever reason. And so, you know, we either have to accept that if we're going to have a lot of things going on, then each of them are going to take longer to get done. Either that or we need to be, you know, to do fewer things, and we can focus more directly on them and get them done in a shorter period of time. That's just reality of the resources that are available.
That's part of the reason why we're trying to sort of change the organization into one where lots more people are doing stuff. I mean, that's the whole change that we're being put through at the moment.
Right, and I think we can get to that to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But things like from registrar's perspective, for example, these probably things affect their businesses directly, so they're going to want to be involved. It isn't like, well, this group of registrar would be involved in this one, and this group would be involved in that one. They all want to have some participation in every one of these things that are going to end up becoming, you know, a policy that they have to be mandated.
The sum total of people who are active in any given group is not all that large. You know, who people are willing to delegate the work to and both trust them and who will actually deliver.
And that's part of the thing that I think changes as people learn to use online tools, that they can use in their own time and space. It just takes a while, and it takes having schedules that try and force us to complete things to sort of use those methods, you know.
Yeah, and it's using schedules to force progress that I squawk at.
That you what?
Doesn't work. Just shouting at a problem, but it doesn't actually solve it.
You and I have, I think we disagree on that one.
Yeah, we do.
I think deadlines are the only thing that gets people to work, given that so many things are competing for their time.
Yeah, but arbitrary deadlines don't.
Well, that's why we're asking Marisa to help us put in reasonable ones, and when they turn out not to be reasonable, you know, people can renegotiate them. I mean...
Fine.
That's the whole point between, you know, asking somebody that has a view of the reasonable world to tell us, and then still readjust. Anyway, I'm suggesting that perhaps we take Tim's, as a way of continuing, take Tim's version of the charter with milestones, put that on the wiki that we may or may not have yet, so that we can all take a crack at reading and wordsmithing before we talk again. And we should probably talk again next week, shouldn't we?
There's no wiki yet, but
I went and looked, but I wasn't sure whether I was missing it and wasn't a member or something. But
assuming it doesn't conflict with something else for this next week, that would be fine.
Yeah, if it does conflict with something else, then we could meet at the same time. Otherwise, meet at a different time. But we do need to probably meet next week to.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to people?
Yep, absolutely.
And if people can maybe comment, I know Alan already provided some suggestions for you know, how we should structure the workshop in Sydney. I'm happy to put as well some ideas to together with Alan's comments on paper that we can maybe discuss at the next meeting.
Okay.
Probably
good thing to
have ideas.
Build a wiki page on that, too. I mean, you know, part of our wiki here, start doing that.
Okay.
The only issue on that is whoever's going to do any work for that workshop is going to have to start real soon. Most of us have other things we're doing also.
I'm happy to drive that to a certain extent to get the people involved that that you think would be right. I know you suggested approaching Rob Hall. I saw on the list that he's at least he has signed up. So I mean, if people think that he could be a good candidate to speak on this,
Rob tends to be able to, you know, if he decides to give a relatively unbiased, you know, view of things and go over the mechanics and that kind of stuff. And there's not many people who know it better than he does. So.
Okay. So we've got an hour.
If he's willing to do it, of course.
We've got an hour. Alan, I want to ask. I mean, I have to say, jump in and if you're going to do interim chair, are you interested in starting it as we continue this process?
You mean starting next week?
Starting now.
Oh. Yes, I'm willing to.
Does anyone object to that?
I'm not quite sure what it means to be the interim chair at this stage in the project, but I'm willing to do it and be tutored by somebody.
Getting everything done and getting the project done.
Okay. I'll do my best.
Thanks. Is that it for today?
I think so. I'm getting hungry.
Anybody else?
Nope. That's it.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And let's try to continue this alive, not just wait for next week.
Right. Wiki.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's call. You may disconnect at this time.